Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast, truly one of the most unusual ever recorded, contains dribble, slang, and frank discussion of subject matter which under no circumstances should be heard by small children, persons with a heart condition, or anyone who is upset easily. If you are such a person, or if you're the parent of a very small child in the room, we urge you to switch off your streaming device now.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Cam. How are you?
What up?
Welcome back, everyone.
Welcome back to day two of OTCP.
Yeah. Sex, Lies, and Duct Tape.
I love that. I love that title. That was very clever of you, Jen.
It's pretty fitting. So anyway.
Let's go. I can't wait.
There's a lot to cover.
Lots of questions.
We've got lots to cover. Trust me. Lots. I finished this last night. I didn't finish it until 4 a.m. this morning.
That's brutal.
I'm tired.
I bet.
I got up at 6.
Nope.
So when we last left off, where we left off was Julie and Dennis had just met for their first lunch date. We went through Julie's past. Now I'm going to give you a little backstory.
DL on Dennis.
Little story about Dennis. Virginia, or Jenny, as she was called, and Bob Bullock were both from hard-working families. Well, Jenny's mom and dad were hardworking. Her mom sold vegetables out of the back of a truck by Anheuser-Busch Brewery, and her dad did something around there too, but it's uncertain what. Bob's dad, however, was a hard-drinking man and gambler from Georgia. Bob's mother was also always depressed and in bed every time he came home from school, so he basically had to raise his siblings. And he never graduated from high school, had to get his GED. Jenny and Bob fell in love when they were teenagers. They married and made their way out to California, where Bob started working as a mechanic at Lockheed Aircraft. In October of 1953, Jenny gave birth to their first child, Dennis Neil Bullock. A few years later, the small family wanted to be closer to their family, so they moved back to Missouri. In January of 1958, they welcomed a daughter, Cynthia Louise. And Jenny was a force to be reckoned with. She was every bit of a mama bear. She always was telling Dennis how to behave and what to do. And as fierce as Jenny was, Bob was very quiet and very passive. He'd come home from work and just sit on the couch and not do anything. Understandable. Basically, Jenny wore the pants in the family. By the early 1960s, the Bullock family moved out to Arnold, Missouri, in Jefferson County. The house had been recently built, and it was about 1,100 square foot.
Did you find that house?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Judy Lane. Where's right that? Across from the Drury Inn. Across, that four-way, the highway?
Yeah.
Across from that Ross's.
Oh.
So, side note, in 1968, the house was worth about the same amount of jewelry that Julie had.
Oh.
And Arnold is about 15 miles south from St. Louis. As of today, Arnold is the largest city in Jefferson County. Its population is a bit over 21,000. But when the Bullocks moved out into Arnold, the population was about 600 or so. Mm. It was Hoosier Central. It was nothing but farmland. Honestly, Jefferson County didn't even have a public library until 1991.
Really?
Yeah. And supposedly it was like a hotbed for Ku Klux Klan members and bikers and wife beaters and drugs and all sorts of, it was
gnarly stuff.
Crap. Yeah. But Jenny was proud of her children. She just knew that Dennis would have it all, the American dream. Mm-hmm. And she doted on his every want and need. Bob was partial to Cindy. Dennis kind of felt that. And he even claimed that one time Bob, and he hit his head. But nobody believed Dennis because Bob was so passive. One person did say that if it did really happen, It was because Dennis had hurt Cindy. And pretty much everybody liked Cindy better. Of course, that made Dennis really jealous. Sometimes Dennis would be so mean to his sister that she'd have to stay for a while at a friend's house, just until he calmed down. And for some unknown reason, Dennis had always wanted to be wealthy and have the finest things in life. A family friend once said that even when he was little, he would make his parents take him to expensive restaurants. And he even made his mother buy him, his mother worked at a grocery store, and this is a quote, he got his mother to buy him foreign, runny, smelly cheeses and that smoked fish that Jews eat.
Can't make that up.
God, I love Arnold, Missouri people.
Welcome to Missouri.
I love you, Arnold. We're Hoosiers back in the 60s. When Dennis's mother didn't do what he wanted to do, he'd pack his stuff up and leave her a note and said, I'm going to Grandma's. Or Graham, as Dennis called her. Dennis was also very picky about his clothes. He always wanted to have perfectly neat. And in fact, when his mom would iron them, if she didn't do it right, Dennis would get really mad and do it himself. I would have had him do it himself the whole time.
I would have too. It's a valuable skill to learn.
It is. I haven't learned it. I don't even know if my daughters know what an iron is, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. I know they didn't when they were younger. We went to Toys R Us and
they had the little toy iron.
The youngest one saw the iron and the thing and she's like, oh my God, what is this? Well, you don't need to know about it. You can hire somebody to
do
it.
I'm so proud.
I know, me too. The fact that Dennis's parents didn't really care about their appearance as much as Dennis did kind of made him really mad and kind of resentful about
that. Yeah, he's embarrassed, I guess.
Very embarrassed. Dennis was from a small town, and we grew up in a small town, and we knew people like this, the big fish in the small pond kind of guy. Mm-hmm. And Arnold, Dennis made decent grades. He was in student council. He played the cornet in band.
Did he go to Fox High School?
Yes, he did.
Wow.
He graduated in 69, I think. He was on the wrestling team, and later in life, he'd tell people that he was the captain. He wasn't. He lied. He was in the National Honor Society. He seemed to be perfect, like the all-American male.
Seemed to be.
Seemed to be. But looking back, one of his high school teachers believed that Dennis had that budding Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde thing. Mm-hmm. And the quote was, while he had a silver tongue, it was slit.
Ew.
And about his mom, he thought his mom like really kind of nurtured the two sides of Dennis. And she always babied him. And this teacher said that he'd tell her that he'll take you for all you're worth and he'll give you nothing in return. That's nice, Mom.
Master
thanks.
Manipulator.
Exactly.
Early on.
Dennis entered a science fair contest. His experiment was he deafened mice and then he studied the effect on music of their nervous system.
What grade was this?
I don't know.
Well, that has to be like junior
high.
But
he won.
At least.
No, I would say it was in high school. But he won the science fair because he got a full college scholarship. Later, he'd tell his wife that he cheated.
How do you make
And he falsified the information. That's how he won.
Yeah.
And here's something. The one thing that everybody found odd, and this will go throughout his life, Dennis was never naked around other men. And I know that sounds weird, but an old Boy Scout friend of Dennis said that he always, like camping trips, he'd always sleep with his uniform on. And he never said why. He wouldn't swim or shower with the other boys, like swim naked. In high school, after practice of the wrestling team, he'd wait till everybody else took a shower before he would take one.
Or maybe he was just shy.
And everybody in college said the exact same thing about him, too. You know the difference. There's some boys that are bank walkers. You know what a bank walker is? Two types of boys. And you can tell the difference when they go skinny dipping. There are boys who run quickly into the lake. And then there are other boys who strut around the outer banks before going in.
Oh, okay. Oh, good to know.
Showers.
Showers and growers. I gotcha.
Showers. Dennis also dreamed of being a doctor. And in fact, when he attended college, he started studying to be a doctor.
He's pre-med. Got lots of dreams.
He does. He attended college in Illinois, and I think it was SIUE, but I'm not really for sure, but it would make sense.
Yes.
By 1974, Dennis was engaged to a teenage girl. He had a fondness for teenagers.
How old was he at this time? He was in college, right?
Oh, yeah. He was like 20. The book calls this girl Wendy Meadows. Dennis realized at this time that he didn't have the grades to get into Harvard Med School. And Wendy really didn't give Dennis the emotional support he really needed to do it.
Probably because she was a teenager, but okay.
But Wendy's mother did.
Okay.
Mrs. Meadows believed in Dennis, and Dennis thrived on that. In one of Dennis's journals, he wrote, "He could not fulfill his destiny unless he had a supporting woman behind him."
Behind him, not beside him?
Behind him. Dennis and Mrs. Meadows became very, very close, and Dennis pretty much leaned on Mrs. Meadows.
He couldn't lean on her because she's behind him.
Well, lean back.
Okay.
Yeah. Mrs. Meadows died suddenly, and it devastated Dennis. In fact, for years, Dennis would write in his diary or tell girlfriends how sad he felt about Mrs. Meadows left him. She left him. And after that, he told Wendy, "You know what? Let's just postpone this wedding, at least until I graduate college." He kind of never went back to college. Kind of had to quit. Mm-hmm. He quit that year. Wendy caught Dennis cheating on her. So she left him. By 1977, Dennis decided to go back to the Illinois College. This time he was going to study biology. Dennis joined some social groups. He joined the Literary Society and also the PTL. Praise the Lord. Dennis's family was pretty religious and they always attended church, which Catholicism is huge here in St. Louis. So by the time he went back to school, Dennis started seeing another girl, 16-year-old high school student by the name the book gave her, Dinah. Dennis was 23 at this time.
Ew.
I know. After 6 months, he proposed. They became engaged. Dinah could not refuse Dennis because he was so different from all the other boys.
Right.
He seemed classier and more refined.
Yeah, because he's 8 years older than you.
And Dennis also had plans. I've got plans.
He's got lots of plans and dreams.
He wrote in his diaries that he was going to be a senator and very wealthy. He was going to be somebody who sat on the board of the art museum, someone who talked about their real estate portfolio with other powerful members at the most exclusive country clubs. Mm-hmm. And Dennis thought this was his right. He deserved to have all this. And about this time, Dennis started keeping his journals in a safety deposit box. So through all these diaries, every diary that he wrote and ever, pretty much, the number one theme was he needed to achieve his potential.
He should have been a motivational speaker then. That's what it sounds like to me.
He wrote how talented he was. He was talented in medicine, science, the arts, talented in charming people.
Young girls.
He always found women to see his potential, beginning with his beloved Graham, his mother, his first fiance's mother, and now his second fiance, Dinah. She's 16.
That's what I said. He's 8 years older.
Of course she can see your potential. She doesn't even, I don't doubt she could spell potential. No offense, Dinah, if you're out there. You're 16. Actually, I don't think I spelled potential right through this whole thing, so I had to use spell check. Dennis said he was not going to be like his parents. He was going to have it all. His parents just weren't good enough for him. They were useless. But what could one expect from people with such menial jobs?
Is that what he said?
Mm-hmm.
Ew.
Dennis admitted to Dinah that he told lies to impress his friends.
No.
Or to get what he wanted.
Never saw
to
that.
Him, there was no difference between truth or lies. Rules didn't apply to him because he was special. Dennis saw nothing wrong into using people and throwing them away.
Well, he's trying to reach his potential, Jen.
I know. Speaking of which, he tried to reach her potential. When she turned 16, Dinah and Dennis
did it. Did they do it? Dinah and Dennis?
Dinah and Dennis. And as soon as she was legal, they did it.
Legal? At 16?
17.
Ew. Okay.
You can get married up until recently. You could get married here in Missouri with parents' permission at 12. And actually, Dennis started talking her into trying some stuff that she'd never heard of before. Mm. He started to tie her ankles to the bed. She didn't mind it because he was so gentle and she would do anything to please him. God.
He's got potential.
He's got potential. Potentiality.
He's a piece of work. That poor girl just lost her virginity and now she's doing bondage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So another thing that included with anything to please him, she allowed Dennis to take photos of her with his Polaroid camera. Hmm. When she was nude and with her ankles tied together. Hmm. And he liked to keep them in the box, this little gray metal box, along with other pictures of nude photos that he had of other women he knew.
Sounds like such a catch.
Oh, God, it gets better. In 1979, tragedy struck the Bullock family. 21-year-old Cindy was diagnosed with leukemia.
Oh.
Less than 30 days after the diagnosis, she died.
Oh.
And I think Cindy was married when this happened. I'm not for sure, though.
Probably.
From Ancestry.com,
yeah,
it seemed that she was. So Jenny blamed Dennis for Cindy's death because... if he hadn't hit her, she wouldn't have gotten that disease. Because I guess he hit her a lot. And Bob just basically, Cindy was his baby.
Yeah.
And after Cindy died, he kind of died inside. It killed him to watch her be buried. Dennis mm-hmm. told a family friend that Cindy deserved this and she's right where she belongs.
Dennis said that?
Yep. Dennis never went to Cindy's funeral.
What?
In fact, nobody really knows exactly where he went.
How could you not? Okay.
Jenny, always making excuses, said that Dennis went down to the Ozarks to see some family. But later he sat on Cindy's grave for 4 days and four nights and just cried.
No, he did not.
No, he did not.
Nope.
I think Dennis got his little charming thing from Jenny. I really do.
Jenny as the mom, though, too, is, do you know what I mean? Like, you're embarrassed by your kids, so you make excuses.
Yeah, but I think Jenny was kind of a little
too.
Psychopathic.
Too, oh, yeah. Okay.
Just, I think. I don't know for sure. I'm not claiming
from
to
what
be.
What you've read, that's what.
That is my uneducated opinion.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm wrong. After a while, the family started to sell off some of Cindy's bigger items. And Dennis actually asked Dinah, hey, let's go in together and buy Cindy's car, right?
He's going to buy his dead sister's car that was owned by his sister who died.
That he hated.
Whose funeral he did not even attend.
That he hated. That he was jealous of and he hated. Mm-hmm. So Dinah gave Dennis $1,000, which was a huge, it was about $3,000 basically in today's mm-hmm. market. She gave him that much money to buy the car. Dennis never bought the car. When Dinah questioned him about it, he told her that he was in trouble and that he owed money for gambling.
What do you do with that money? By duct tape? Did he go by duct tape?
Nobody knows, really, for sure. But he never paid her back. And around this time?
Shocker.
Guess who was making the national news?
Dennis.
Ted Bundy.
Oh.
Ted Bundy. Oh. He had just gotten captured. Mm. And the trial and everything that preceded him. So it was like all over the news. Mm-hmm. Dennis was enthralled with Ted Bundy.
Probably saw a lot of similarities.
He wanted to know everything about mm-hmm. Ted Bundy. So much so that his mother started to worry about him. Mm. And supposedly, Dennis would say, I wonder what it feels like to kill a woman.
Ooh.
And then practice a karate chop. Sorry.
Together? At the same time?
Afterwards, yeah. He would say, I wonder what it feels like to kill a woman. Ka-chow!
Oh, he would do it like, oh.
Yeah.
He was a man. Action like he was.
He studied martial arts. So, yeah. That reminds me of Boogie Nights, Mike Wahlberg's character.
Yes, like
not- karate. So Dennis, you know, he always loved the younger girls. Ever since he was in junior and high school, he liked those little young teenagers. The only exception was when he was, for a little bit in his 20s, he started dating a 37-year-old woman. Mm. Well, kind of just slept with her. But not only did she brag about her oral skills.
Sorry.
She loved to spend her money on Dennis. And personally, Dennis probably liked the money part more than. So by 1980 came around.
That was just your uneducated guess again.
That was my opinion. Uneducated opinion. I know nothing. I'm just guessing. 1980 came, right? New decade. Guess what happens? Dennis falls in love
oh.
with another teenager. And he dropped Dinah.
So did he break up with that other one?
Well, he met the new love while he was still dating Dinah.
Okay, okay.
But then he broke up with Dinah to go with this other teenager. He was 26 at the time. She was 18, so she was older. Mm-hmm. She was an old teenager. And her name's Anne, for real. I found her. So Anne was a real go-getter. And seems like she still is, really. She's good. She started college at 17.
I'm glad she escaped.
She graduated 2 years later as a business manager, all while working full-time.
She was living up to her potential.
She was a doer, not a talker. Dennis wrote in his journal, with her, he could reach his potential. Now, he was starting a new decade, the 80s, and a lifetime of joy.
For now.
It was all blue skies and butterflies, is what he wrote. For once, he could unleash his feelings and not control them on his lover. Which I'm not really for sure what that means, but he's a controller. Anne thought Dennis offered a sense of stability in her life. Her parents were divorced, which, of course, she thought it was her fault. And it's not. It never is.
Nope.
So if you feel like you caused your parents' divorce,
nope.
You didn't.
Nope.
You didn't. It's not your fault. It's probably your fault they stayed together for so long. But the divorce is not your fault.
Again, you're just making all these educated, uneducated.
Well, as a product of divorce myself, I know it's not my fault.
I know. I'm just saying.
Okay. And she also, Anne didn't have a great relationship with her father either. And, you know, Dennis was so sensitive, such a sensitive man. He wrote poetry. He was a poet.
He was a poet and didn't know it.
So, according to Dennis's diaries, the two had an amazing sex life, mm-hmm. at least in the beginning. Then Dennis became insecure. So insecure, he became impotent and not the impotent he wanted to be. He blamed Anne for all of this. It was her fault. I mean, at first he blamed her because she was a prude. And then he'd blame her for her pro-ERA stance. And her fault, she wouldn't do what he wanted to do. In fact, when he wanted to try something like, I don't know, golden showers or really hard biting and other points of entry, she would just say no and kind of laughed it off. And Dennis would get really angry.
Well, it is the 80s, remember? Just say no to drugs. Nancy Reagan.
And whatever.
So she just applied that to her life.
I know. Personal space.
I got you, man.
And Anne had said that sex with Dennis was always so serious. What fun is that? Said it was never playful or funny or anything like that. And actually, sometimes he would get so mad that he would pin her to the bed and scream. And so for the entirety of their relationship, Dennis always thought Anne was cheating on him. Always. He snooped through her things all the time.
Probably because he was hoping she was.
He was controlling.
Yes.
And he always wanted to look for proof, right? And once he accused her of giving him an STD. Come to find out, even the doctor said it was a yeast infection. Mm-hmm. Hello, it happens. It's not fun. Trust me. There was a time that Anne went to her uncle's house, mm-hmm. and he was a photographer, right? And he got a new lens for his camera. And he wanted to take a couple shots of Anne, right?
Nude?
No. He was a real photographer.
Okay.
Okay. And it's her uncle. That would be creepy.
Well, this is a crime podcast.
I know.
Not like anyway, heard of that.
Dennis was with her, and he was being really annoying, so her uncle sent Dennis away. So later, Dennis, when she came home, he's like, what took you so long? Where have you been? How low did you unbutton your blouse? How were you posed? That was so provocative of a pose. Were you thinking of me when you posed like that? Like, creepy, right? I'd be so pissed. And Dennis, he knew that the photos were just too suggestive. Mm-hmm. And he demanded that her uncle give him all the film.
Those are terrible. Here, give them to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, nobody else can see him. Mm-hmm. She's his. Mm-hmm. The uncle didn't give him the film. I know. Go, uncle.
Go.
So Dennis was always over analyzing the relationship with Anne, back and forth. Anne adored him. But Anne always flirts with other men. Their sex life was amazing. Anne was such a fuddy-duddy. He believed that he always put Anne first, but he felt Anne just didn't care enough. Mm-hmm. And he would tell Anne, if you really loved me, you would do whatever I asked whenever I wanted. No, if you really loved me, you wouldn't do anything. You wouldn't ask. After barely making it through college, Dennis and Anne moved in together.
Bad move, Anne.
He wasn't going to marry her. They're just going to move in together. Mm-hmm. He wasn't going to marry her because he believed she didn't love him enough. Mm-hmm. And he actually told her that there were other women that found him to be quite a catch.
He should go.
And then how would he feel if she cheated on her? Go for it, buddy. Lived without you before. I can live without you now. So
this sounds like so much work. That's like
exhausting.
A part-time job.
Woo. Exhausting. Dennis, of course, ever concerned with his appearance, started to worry as he was getting older. When he turned 28, he already started to lie about his age.
Of course he did.
Mm-hmm. Not only did he not want to get old, he didn't want to look old. Mm-hmm. So he had always been active, always exercised and kept in shape. Now he worked 3 times a week at where? Vic Tanny.
Oh, Vic Tanny.
Vic Tanny. Mm-hmm.
Holy moly. I forgot about those.
I know. He used tanning beds and he would shop at all the health food stores. Uh-huh. Anything he could ever do to keep looking young. In 1982, while Dennis was in graduate school at UMSL, mm-hmm. University of Missouri, St. Louis, mm-hmm. he and Anne got married. Anne had bought her own wedding ring and also paid for the honeymoon.
Hmm. Huh. It's already off to a great start.
Well, she had the job. He was in school.
Still.
He's probably unemployed. Enough. You think?
Quit going to Vic Tanny.
Thank you.
Saving money.
Because he was so violent, Anne had told her friend about the time that she'd climbed into bed one night and said something that Dennis didn't like. So he hit her so hard that it knocked her out of bed.
What?
And she fell on the floor.
That would be it.
There's a bunch of that would be it's for me.
Okay, yeah, that would have been it a long time ago, actually, but yeah.
So as Anne started to get older and become more successful at her job at Southwestern Bell, mm-hmm. remember she worked at the mm-hmm. same place Julie did, mm-hmm. Dennis started to realize that he was able to control her less and less.
Oh, you gotta get rid of her then.
She started to become more confident and independent.
And realize that he's a jerk.
And she was the breadwinner. In 1983, Dennis got his MBA diploma, finally. And it landed him the job at Price Waterhouse, which was one of the biggest national accounting firms in the nation at the time. By today's money, he was making $60,000.
Oh.
Not bad. Anne was making in today's money $90,000.
Oh, yeah.
But even though she was the top earner, Dennis still controlled all the money. It started because when they first got together, Dennis told Anne that she was too young. She can't have a bank account in her name. She's not old enough. It had to be in his name. But now that she's older, he wouldn't even tell her where the bank account was.
Which bank it was located?
That's unclear, I think.
That's what that would mean.
Or hide the deposit slips and stuff like that. Or hide the checkbooks.
Yeah, but
and
you could go to the bank. You could still go to the bank and get that stuff. So that's just him.
Think.
He probably didn't even tell her where the bank was, you
Sorry.
Know?
Mm-hmm. So Dennis and Anne purchased the first house in U-City on Tulane Avenue, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was actually a two-family flat, which is actually one house, but it's two apartments. So they rented out the other apartment because it was a real estate venture. When they moved in, Jenny and Bob, Dennis's parents, came up from Arnold, which is a good 45-minute drive. They came to help him, mm-hmm. right? So Dennis's parents were working in the yard, and a neighbor walked up to introduce themselves to Dennis, right? Mm-hmm. In the front yard. He then inquired who the two people were in the yard, and Dennis said, oh, they're just people he hired to help get everything in shape.
No.
He was embarrassed.
Did they hear him?
I don't know. I would be devastated.
What a jerk.
I mean, I try to embarrass my kids, but to them just be embarrassed of me, for me, is another thing. Not only did Dennis want all the money, he never wanted to spend any money. Mm-hmm. After a couple months in the new house, the furnace went out. Always happens. It's the worst feeling in the world. Of course, Dennis got a new furnace and had it installed.
Okay, that's pretty good. I thought you were going to say he said no, they couldn't get one.
But a few weeks later, he found a cheaper one. So he had the first one uninstalled and then had the cheaper one installed.
Yep.
That's just more money.
What a hassle.
It's just, he just spent more money to have somebody. Dennis also thought that get rich quick schemes was the way to get him to live up to his potential before he got too old. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get rich before he was way old. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be one of those young, rich people.
Mm-hmm.
And Anne said that she thought that was the dumbest thing she's ever heard.
Mentioned he's not doing anything to make it happen.
Well, exactly.
I mean.
Well, he got the job at Pricewaterhouse. He got his MBA.
Yeah, but still.
Like I said, it was all about appearing to mm-hmm. be somebody that he wanted to be. He joined the Friends of the Art Museum and Friends of the Zoo, and he had all the mailings and anything like that sent to his office just to impress everybody at the office. And Anne thought it was funny. She didn't even know why he would bother to try to impress his colleagues. And actually, one of the colleagues that knew both of them said that Dennis knew the value of appearance, but Anne didn't care to impress. She concentrated on hard work to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It was the style versus substance. So Dennis was basically low dog, bottom of the totem pole at Pricewaterhouse. But he made sure to dress the part as a CEO. Pinstripe suits, heavily pressed white shirts, perfectly coiffed hair. His coworker said that he even acted the part, that he was always talking stocks, real estate, money, said he was boring, had no charm or humor, and that he talked so slow.
He needs to start a podcast.
He should start a podcast. I could talk him. While Dennis loved the atmosphere at Pricewaterhouse, loved his connections, he was out of his element. In 84, he was promoted to senior consultant, but he still wasn't happy. He felt he wasn't at his potential. I still don't know how to spell potential after all this. It's about this time that Anne started noticing Dennis telling just little white lies.
Mm-hmm.
And also, he started using aliases. And she started keeping track of all his aliases. She wrote them down.
When would he use these?
Well, she worried why he was using them.
Why?
The names were Dennis Block, John Block, Dennis, his wife's maiden name, which I'm not going to say, John Mason, Jonathan Dennis, which a lot of these always included John or Jonathan because he thought that those names were associated with very successful men. And also, Dennis hated his last name because in the dictionary, it meant young bull or gelding.
Mm-hmm.
And even Dennis's friends caught him in little white lies. Just about where he's from. Like the wrestler. I was captain of the wrestling team. Mm-hmm. That kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And because of this, Anne started to distrust Dennis.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been a long time
ago. There was no signs earlier.
No, not at all.
I'm surprised it took her this long.
One night she came home late from work. And she pulled up to the driveway and she noticed that Dennis was standing at the window watching her. Blank look on his face. No smile. Mm-hmm. Nothing. She went inside, couldn't find him at all. She knew he was there, but she did not know where he went.
Where'd he go?
I don't know. She was thinking that he was maybe starting to gaslight her. So Anne confessed one time while going out of business with a colleague who was also a really good friend of hers. She confessed to him that Dennis was beating the hell out of her, but asked them to keep it quiet. She didn't want it to get out in the office, right?
Anne.
So he told her that she either needed to move out or to get a gun. So Dennis' jealousy still mm-hmm. being around, and it only got worse when he drank. When that happened, he would grab Anne by the wrists and slam her down. And while he would pin her, he would shake her, and he would accuse her of adultery. And while, actually at this time, he had been seen around town with other women,
mm-hmm.
but it was never
confirmed.
One of Anne's colleagues said that they thought the more successful she was at Southwestern Bell,
mm-hmm.
the less Dennis felt he could control of her and he needed other women, which I'm pretty sure that was correct. One day, Anne told a friend, you'll understand this too, and I think most women will understand this.
Is he even kind of good looking?
I'll show you pictures.
Okay.
Kind of. I would have fallen for him.
Would you?
In the 80s. Strawberry blonde hair.
Oh, yeah.
A swimmer's body. You would have too.
No.
One day, while coming out of a class, she was taking an MBA class, she had told one of her friends that Dennis had been doing some reconstruction at the house, and he'd torn down a wall in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And he made a huge mess, but he expected her to clean it up.
No.
And it had been sitting there for over a week. That's about right. I mean, we have suitcases that, after vacation, that sits there for about a month. So the next morning, Anne told Dennis that there was an office softball game that night. Anne's spouses were supposed to come, and there was going to be a picnic afterwards. Mm-hmm. Dennis started to scream at her, saying, "You need to be home and clean up this mess." And she's like, "No, I'm going to this. I have to be there. It's business. I'm an executive person here. I have to be there. I have to show up." So that day, Dennis called her four times at the office to make sure that she was coming home. And so finally, Anne just said, "I'm going to this office event, and you better be there." He never showed.
Please tell me she didn't go back home.
Nope. Anne stayed, and she went to the picnic and went out to a bar afterwards.
Good for her.
She didn't come home till about midnight.
I wouldn't have come home at all.
Mm-mm. When she did come home, the house was completely dark, which was weird because Dennis, they would always leave a light on for each other. That's what you do. So she thought it was best not to wake him up. So she snuck upstairs without turning on a light. She got undressed, started brushing her teeth, and all of a sudden the lights went on. She was flipped around and it was Dennis. Dennis started screaming at her, asking where she had been. And she was terrified. She couldn't do anything. He accused her of having an affair because he could smell the sexual aroma on her.
No, dear, that's just cigarettes and beer from the bar, but thank you.
So he began taking his hand and, like, pushing her on the chest really hard. And then finally he grabbed her arm, twisted it, and pushed her to the ground. Anne said, "I fell back and hit the back of my head on the tile wall, and I fell on the floor. He got on top of me with one hand over my mouth, telling me not to scream because the neighbors might hear. And he had one hand raised up in the air. And I thought, oh my God, he's going to kill me. The last thing I will ever see is the pink bathroom tile."
Oh, poor.
Then it hit me. He's like, "If I have time to think, I have time to get out of here." So she ran away and ran downstairs in her underwear. Or before she got out of the house, Dennis was at the top of the staircase and he says, "If you leave, you don't ever come back."
Deal.
And she said, "No problem." She said she threw on a shirt and jeans and ran out of the house, called her mom at the nearest payphone because they didn't have cell phones back then.
No, they did not.
Or they might have, but it was.
No, probably not. Those huge things. Maybe, I don't know.
I think this was later. Dennis was in total shock. Mm-hmm. He couldn't believe that a woman would ever leave him. Soon afterwards, Anne went to see a therapist that specialized in battered women and women in abusive relationships. She was told that battered women usually blame themselves, which she did, and they feel that they caused their beatings, which she did.
Which is not true.
It's not. Ever. It's not at all. It's never your fault. The counselor then explained that Dennis was a psychopath.
Was that because the first time she heard that, I guess?
I guess. Psychopaths use aliases, they lie, they exploit others, they lack close friendships, they make misogynistic sexual demands, they steal, they're violent, and they feel no guilt or remorse. Hmm. He pretty much checked everything off on that list. The next time Anne spoke with Dennis, he said, "I have a chemical imbalance in the brain."
Mm-hmm.
Because I just had tests run at St. Mary's. Mm-hmm. And basically, Anne heard, "Here's my doctor's note. Please come back."
Please tell me she did not.
She agreed to go to counseling.
Man.
She agreed to go to counseling. So she went to the minister at the church that Dennis's family went. But she quit when the minister implied that it was her fault. She's the one that triggered Dennis's anger. And then with that, she left Dennis.
Good.
A month after she left Dennis, she went to visit a friend in Washington, D.C., just on vacation, went to go tour the city and everything. At midnight, Dennis called her hotel, said he couldn't live without her. She just needed to accept and love him as he was. He needed unconditional love.
Psychopaths need love, too.
Mm-hmm. So after that, she called Dennis's minister for help. She didn't know if he was going to be suicidal or what. He didn't get help. So she went sightseeing the next day. She comes into the hotel lobby, and sure as shit,
he is there.
He's in the lobby waiting for her.
That's so scary.
He was in the hotel room because he told the hotel manager that he was his wife, or he was her wife, and that he was going to surprise her. But she had taken too long. Thank God. While Dennis was trying to reconcile with Anne, he was calling in sick to work, and he took a leave of absence for a month in June and went east with his new girlfriend by the name of Jody. After he returned from his trip, which Anne found out, Anne filed for divorce.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you. Good going, Anne. She's a very successful woman now. Very proud of her. Strong. Like that. While Anne and Dennis were getting a divorce, it was a very amicable divorce. They were dividing up property. Anne gave Dennis her engagement ring that she bought. It was a 1 carat.
Which Why?
Was probably really expensive back in the 80s. Gave it to be appraised.
Gave it to Dennis to go appraise it?
To be appraised. Mm-hmm.
See a ring.
He lost it. Don't and he go. Filed an insurance claim, listing only himself as the beneficiary. Later, he said he found it, but he never notified the insurance company.
No, of course not. It's right where he put it.
Oh, and just before the divorce was finalized, Dennis called Anne saying, come on over. I have a nurse here. He wanted Anne to get a physical for a life insurance policy. He'd pay the premiums. The policy was for $250,000.
And they're not even together yet?
They're getting a divorce.
So basically that is saying,
Dennis was the beneficiary.
I'm going to kill you and I'm going to get some money.
Anne asked her friend if she should go, and her friend said, do you want to die?
The guts that he would even have to ask that?
Well, I have someone that shall remain nameless that part of the divorce agreement. Was he had to get $1 million policy on his life, and she was the beneficiary for it. Even though he got married to another woman, she still holds, his ex-wife holds $1 million policy on her ex-husband. Yeah. Dennis was mopey about the divorce, but what hurt most was Anne had decided on the divorce without consulting him.
Isn't that why one party sues the other for mm-hmm. divorce? Isn't that how that works? So.
It's not like you discuss what type of car you're going to get. Anne told Dennis that she thought he just wasn't a good person. And he said, why?
Shock,
and she goes,
sure.
You steal like towels from hotels. You commit insurance fraud. And you're always trying to screw somebody out of something.
And screw somebody, period.
Anne said she actually believed that Dennis had stole her mother's silver when they were dating.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he did, too. Since Anne no longer wanted Dennis, he turned to his new girlfriend, Jody. She provided a quality relationship that
what
Dennis
is she, 12,
needed.
13?
Never said. They met in June in Washington, D.C., and they saw each other several times a month and spoke on the phone twice a day.
Wait a minute. Did he meet her in Washington, D.C. when he was out there stalking Anne?
Not for sure, but most likely. I think it was for a business trip that he was on. Not sure.
Okay.
Once again, Dennis said they enjoyed a very active sex life. And it included gentle bondage. The first night they had sex, Jody didn't know what he was doing when he tied her wrists together with silk ties and then tied her arms to the bedpost. But Dennis tied her up really loosely that she wasn't really that afraid. First time that happens, I'm not approved by any means, but I'm just saying.
First time you meet them, I would be thinking, here, this is the end.
Hello, Mr. Goodbar. Yeah.
Ooh-wee.
For Jody's birthday, it was in August of...
You got her handcuffs.
1985. Mm-hmm. Dennis sent Jody a book on car repair. So romantic. And a woman's floppy silk bow tie. Remember in the 80s how they had those thin...
Yeah.
I had to wear one when I worked at the grocery store. Hated it. And the card read... On the tie, maybe we can find a different use for this.
The car inspection manual?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They were going to change the oil. Mm-hmm. And that's sexy. The more accustomed Jody got with being tied up, the more stuff Dennis wanted to try.
It's a gateway.
He wanted to do hog tying, blindfolds. He believed that Jody was sexually all he had always wanted but never received from Anne. Dennis loved knowing that he could manipulate Jody. This wholesome woman into doing whatever his sexual desires wanted.
He's kind of grossing me out, I gotta be honest.
Control was the ultimate turn on. While he was dating Jody, he obsessively wrote about Anne in his journals, sometimes twice a day.
I thought he hated her.
He claimed he hated Anne because he could not trust her and he could not trust her because he loved her.
But he loved her, but he didn't like their sex life because she was a prude.
But if he couldn't resolve them, the pain would kill him.
Pain from the being tied up?
No, the pain from not being able to reconcile with Anne. But then Dennis actually wrote to Anne, "May you burn for what you've done." So Dennis went on a major spending spree. He stopped paying his credit card bills and started charging them up. Not paying bills meant that he had more money to spend. I did that once.
Funny how that works.
Doesn't work as well later. He took vacations to beaches. He went on ski trips.
Did he take Jody?
He did go on vacations with Jody, yes. He had a passport, so he could do whatever he wanted. He went to all the trendiest restaurants, expensive restaurants, trendiest clubs. He was living the single man's dream. But in his search for Mrs. Wright, Dennis seemed to concentrate on women who were rich, social, and pretty. But pretty really didn't matter if they had.
First two?
Yes. It all depended on their bank account. Dennis preferred ones that had never been married. He didn't want the competition. He was too jealous. And his former socialite was a former Deb named Nina. She was 28 and had just broken up with a man because he couldn't commit to her. So one of the reasons why Dennis could attract with the women being from completely different backgrounds is Dennis was a con artist, basically. Mm-hmm. He was a chameleon. He could appear to be whomever people wanted him to be. Mm-hmm. If a woman...
That's part of being a psychopath, mm-hmm. giving them what they want or need at that time.
Exactly. If a woman wanted to mother someone, he would basically come out with stories about, oh, my poor dead sister.
Mommy issues.
Yeah. And he was all the, I'm wounded, can you heal me? That kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Fix me. And then he would talk about, I just want to get married and have kids. And this really worked for like the 30 plus women. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they wanted, too. They wanted to hear that. Although Dennis liked Nina, the potential for lover sex wasn't what kept him from coming back. It was her connections mm-hmm. and her money. With Nina, Dennis was invited to all the places where the old money mingled, which are called the out-of-sight rich. Out-of-sight rich are the ones that want to hide their wealth from the world rather than flaunt it.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
Me, too. Like millionaire next door. Mm-hmm. One of Nina's friends said it in an interview that Dennis never really revealed more. Let's see. Dennis revealed that he was at Price Waterhouse. He received his MBA from University of Missouri, St. Louis, and in the process of becoming divorced. They didn't ask questions because we knew that they wouldn't connect with him. But if he married one of the rich socialites in their social circle, that it would be fine. Mm-hmm. One tries to make the best of these things. Mm-hmm. Another thing Nina's friends noticed, he never showered or used the locker room facilities with the other guys.
Did he work out there?
He was always fully dressed. Yeah, he played racquetball, tennis, did all that stuff, but he never...
Is there a reason? Do you tell me about this later?
No. Oh, okay. I'm thinking he had inadequacies. I don't know. Or jealous of other people's poles. I don't know. That's an opinion, an uneducated opinion. Okay. I have nothing to go on that.
I was wondering if something else was going to come out later and we'd find out about it.
No. According to a friend, even though Dennis was playing around with all these women, he just pretty much wanted to settle down and have a family. And then that part was true. Dennis thought, kind of like Julie, that if he could have the perfect family, he'd be able to achieve more. He didn't want an independent career wife like Anne. He needed a trophy wife, someone to keep up appearances, someone he can control. One night when he wasn't cavorting with the rich and famous of St. Louis, he was at home, and he picked up the Riverfront Times, and he went through the personal ads. He found two that he sent. Mm. One was, are you a nice guy? So Dennis and Julie had their first meeting, like I said, on August 14th, 1995, just days after he wrote his ex-wife that she wished she would die and burn, and after giving his girlfriend Jody the car manual.
The sex slash car manual.
Yeah. So, you know, when they met, Julie thought, Dennis was movie star handsome, and Dennis actually liked the way Julie dressed and the way she spoke. He could tell she was a professional and she was on the right track. Julie was excited about her meeting with Dennis. So on the way home from work that evening, you know, she rode in the carpool. She showed the people in the carpool the picture that Dennis had sent her. And one of the carpoolers said, "Oh, Julie, he has the cruelest eyes I've ever seen."
Ooh, that's not a good sign. Wow.
Dennis also met another woman through the Riverfront Times, was a registered nurse that we will call Barbara, because the book did.
Think about Barbara and think, like, she barely escaped.
Wait. Just wait.
By their chin of her.
They talked for a long time on phones, and Barbara said she was really impressed that when she met this man, they discussed relationships. Mm-hmm. So their first meeting, they drove separately, at Ted Drew's at 10 p.m.
It's a little late for a first time meeting, but okay.
It's a little late for ice cream. Thank you very much.
It's never not a good time for ice cream. However, to meet a strange man at 10 p.m. to get ice cream, probably not a good idea.
Yes. When it was close to midnight, Dennis put his hand on her leg and said, "How far is it to your house?" And Barbara automatically thought, "Oh, how sweet. He wants to make sure I get home safe."
No, he does not, Barbara.
Then he said, "Do you have any wine?"
Mm-hmm. Just a little nightcap.
He said he did.
My etchings. It'll just be a moment.
Or she said she did, and Dennis followed her home. After the wine, which was Blue Nun.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
A step up from Boone's Farm, maybe? Yeah, Blue Nun. They started to kiss and everything. Mm-hmm. But Dennis wouldn't do any open mouth kisses. Dennis left at 2:30, saying he wanted to see Barbara again and to call him anytime. Well, Barbara did.
Barbara.
Over and over and over.
Oh, again. Maybe Barbara and Dennis had a little something in common we didn't know about.
Well, this was over Christmas, too.
Mm-hmm.
She actually bought him a Christmas present and returned it because she never saw him. Here's another thing. When she had asked Dennis his last name, he said it was Bender. Mm-hmm. And he couldn't give her his home address because he just had all these ex-girlfriends dropping by and it just wouldn't be cool. Barbara didn't see Dennis again until one late night in January, about midnight. Doorbell rang. She opened it, even though she thought, "Do I know this man well enough to let him in?"
No.
She let him in.
No.
Dennis Bender. She let Dennis Bender in.
Dennis Bender over?
So Dennis took off his coat and they opened another bottle of Blue Nun. And they drank that bottle. They drank another one. I didn't know you could buy so many bottles of Blue Nun.
Do they even make that anymore?
I don't know. Dennis dimmed the lights and sat next to Barbara. One thing led to another. And they started to become intimate. Dennis told her that he wanted her to bite his nipples. "Bite me hard, so hard it hurts," he said. This is all taken from court document or in interviews and stuff like that. And then she said, "I don't want to hurt you." And he said, "You won't hurt me." Sounds like a bad romance, doesn't it? He then wanted her to claw his back with her nails.
Uh-huh.
So then he began caressing her body. And she was like, "All right, we're getting into it now. This is exactly what I want." You know, she was getting ready to enjoy herself when all of a sudden there was a searing pain through her neck into her skull.
What?
When she looked up, she saw that Dennis was hitting her like a karate chop to the neck. He hit her 3 times before she could push him away.
That had to be really hard if it felt like searing through your skull.
She said she was screaming as loud as she could, and she'd never been more terrified in her entire life. And then Dennis put his hand over her mouth. He just kind of went into himself. She said that he went over across the room and sat naked on the floor crying.
Oh, he's naked in front of somebody.
That's well, women, okay. He won't. Other men, no, but women, he will. Oh. And then he said, "I didn't mean to scare or hurt you."
So it's almost like another persona came out.
Kind of. Barbara got dressed and was like, "Yeah, I'm out of the mood. Let's go." And Dennis wouldn't go. And he apologized.
Leave?
No. He apologized again. And she's like, "I am so bad and I should be punished. Will you spank me?" And then he said, "You know, I thought you'd enjoy being hit. I was only trying to intensify your pleasure. Because when I go to the hairstylist, I read women's magazines. I read that women become very excited when hit on the face and neck. I thought sex and violence go together for women."
Only in the pornos, buddy. Only in the pornos.
Dennis Bender said that he was concerned he hadn't pleased Barbara and wanted to have another chance. Nope. He's like, "I know I should have asked you first about hitting you, but I never would have done anything you wouldn't wanted to do." And then Dennis said, "I just hadn't had sex like that since May. And then Dennis asked to put his clothes back on and wanted to finish his wine. 3 weeks after Dennis and Julie met, Julie was discussing Dennis and talking about him to all her friends at work. Dennis was on a trip to California with Jody. Although Dennis did mention Julie to his close friend once, he had stated that he met a woman through a personal ad, and she reminds me of Anne. Both are bright, attractive, and literally on the same career track. But don't tell Anne. That was the last time he mentioned it, and he didn't even use her name.
Julie's name.
Julie's name. Dennis was dating Julie. He was still sleeping with other women, while Julie put everything she could into this relationship. He was her only concern outside of work. She would do whatever he wanted whenever he wanted, just like Anne, except he could control Julie. Around the time Dennis's divorce became finalized, he thought, she could probably help me reach my potential. But listen, if you think you need somebody else to reach your potential, you don't have any potential to begin with, right?
No.
I mean, Julie isn't exactly what he wanted, but at the time, she was worth $725,000 in today's money. And that could help him with his real estate dreams. He wanted to be an entrepreneur, a real estate tycoon. So all should have been perfect in Julie's world because she had finally found her Mr.
Psychopath.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Mr. Right.
Her Mr. Psychopath. She just seemed to get more depressed. Really? And her friends were becoming scared.
Of him or for? Oh,
of her.
Okay, I got you.
One September in 85, she had lunch with her friend Nora, and Julie confessed to her that she was going to go on disability leave and admit herself to a psychiatric hospital.
At least she's getting help.
When Julie told her brother Robert that she was going, he was shocked. And he's like, why would you do that? And then she said, well, Dennis thought it was a good idea. And Robert said, who's Dennis? So on September 19th, Julie had a real mental breakdown. She called her neighbor and she was ranting about how ugly she was and how she was going to throw acid on her face and horrible. So the neighbor came over, calmed Julie down and made her call her doctor. When the neighbor left, Julie didn't want to be alone. And since she had been calling Dennis all the time, she called him and he said he'd be right over. And as soon as she was off the phone, of course, you do what all girls do. Hurry up, clean up. She took a shower. She put on makeup.
I don't do that.
She wanted everything nice and presentable, right? Appearances. Later, after he left, she wrote in her journal, I feel very close to Dennis. Dennis was so masterful, so soothing, so in control.
Oh.
So on September 23rd, Dennis drove Julie to St. John's Medical Center. She was a patient there for over 7 weeks. According to the doctors, Julie not only showed signs of depression, guilt, loneliness, anxiety, and low self-esteem, which pretty much is self-depression, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Julie also had hysterical overtones, obsessive-compulsive personalities, borderline personality disorder characteristics. She was a mess. Upon later review, though, another psychiatrist said that Julie might have been misdiagnosed. Julie's behaviors were typical of bipolar depression. Mm-hmm. In which all kinds of symptoms can come and go. Bipolar patients swing between utter helplessness and extreme euphoria. When she first came to the hospital, they put her on a mild sedative. Within a couple days, she was prescribed Thorazine, which was strong.
Ooh.
Julie thought her depression was caused by her job. Her doctor said nope. He thought Julie had three major problems. She was too close to her mother, not close enough with her father. And her identity was blurred because she was like a little child. Mm-hmm. And all three of these problems just were wrapped together. Mm-hmm. The more her father ignored his daughter, the more Julie felt worthless. And the more Julie went to her mother for comfort. And the more her mommy cradled Julie, the more helpless she felt.
It's a cycle.
She just felt inadequate. The doctor also suspected that her father or someone in Julie's family may have sexually abused her.
I knew that was coming.
But it was never proven, ever. So after a while, Julie started to seem chipper, and she would walk around the hospital carrying a teddy bear. Now, at home she did it, but at the hospital, she would speak through the teddy bear to the hospital staff and other patients.
So answer the questions as the teddy bear.
Hi, I remember. Yeah. Julie says that I. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. How old is she at this time?
30.
Are her parents dead?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you just
they've been dead for about 10 years.
Didn't you just say that she went back to get?
She regressed. Her whole experience growing up was
okay.
Her dad ignored her. She was hurt. She went to her mother. Her mother coddled her,
which made her feel worse.
Which made her Okay. It was a cycle. And at about the 2-week mark, Julie completely regressed. So they prescribed her 50 milligrams of Tofranil. It's another antidepressant, but it also reduces agitation and anxiety.
I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
So these meds made Julie incoherent, and she started speaking in riddles through the teddy bear. When she was lucid, she would scream at the doctor that he was wrong. Her father did not abuse her. She said that her father only had physical contact with her when he was punishing her. Then she would start crying and state that she only wanted her father to hold her. Even when Julie was really upset and hysterical, she just wanted to please the nurses. Julie assumed that the nurses had all the answers. She expected unconditional mothering from the women and direction from the men. She said, I need discipline to help me open the emotional doors. She told that to a nurse. And then she drew a heart on the blackboard. And beside it, she wrote, because the children need love. She even referred to herself as, I'm a little girl, even though I know I'm not. And she said that she wanted the staff to approve of her and all the other children. Mm-hmm. Then Julie started to have delusions. She was overheard on the phone saying, Mr. President, which is Ronald Reagan at the time. Oh, he's like a big brother to me, and I need a brother and sister talk. I'll mail the letter today by Federal Express, or maybe Air Force One can come get it.
Poor thing.
And she would spend hours on the phone talking to friends and family, and she would cry, and then she'd laugh, and then she'd cry, and then she'd laugh. Dennis would come and visit her, and she had day passes, and he would take her out. And that always cheered her up, and he sent her cards, and Julie would show them off to anybody who would listen or talk to her. And by late October, Julie was completely psychotic.
Aww.
She wore red high heels with scrubs. She claimed to be a prophet of God. And she insisted her brother take her favorite cross that she said was given to her personally by Pope John the 23rd.
Mm.
He had passed in like 63, I think. Mm-hmm. And it's also said that Julie started to act inappropriate with the males on the ward. One man on the staff who just thought he was God's gift claimed that Julie came on to him, but whether that's true or not, I don't know. It seemed that he claimed that a lot. Other than that man, Julie held hands with a younger patient, and then a male visitor came and she just lifted up her shirt and showed her midriff, which isn't too bad.
Yeah.
80s, the crop tops. Everybody loved a crop top. It's back right now.
It is back, let me tell you.
Julie told her doctor that she had done kinky things in bed and that her sexual behavior had gotten her in trouble before, but she never described what it was, which is odd since later when the police spoke to her past lovers, they're like, no, she was vanilla. Julie's housekeeper, Sheila, said that she was so shy that one time she found a picture of Julie in a black negligee in one of Julie's drawers, and Julie was embarrassed.
Like, mortified.
Yeah. Mortified. So by the 5th week of her stay, Julie was not allowed off the floor unless supervised. She was to be dressed in scrubs all the time, and if needed be, she was to be strapped down in her bed. She started to refuse her medication, and when the nurses forced her to take her medicine, she would scream, "You're doing my dad's dirty work." With her mental state worsening, Julie was transferred to a locked ward. She was given drugs without her consent, and a new drug was prescribed, Stelazine, which is used for schizophrenia, and she became suicidal. She was then prescribed Haldol, but even with all these medications, and she was still allowed day passes. Unreal. On one of these day passes, she went to visit family member, I forget which, and she brought back a photo album of her family, and she knew that the key to all of her problems was in this photo album.
Mm-hmm.
So she sat with another patient, and they looked through the photo album. And the patient noticed that in one family photo, the family looked really, really happy. Mm-hmm. And then the next, they all looked really unhappy. And then when he asked Julie about it, she said, Something terrible happened to me when I was a little girl. Something traumatic happened, and it changed my entire life. But never mentioned what it was. By November, Julie was almost rational again. After 52 days of hospitalization for depression, Julie was sent home. She was sent home with all of her antipsychotic meds and a bunch of appointments with different psych doctors. Mm-hmm. Well, once she was released from the hospital, Julie started to get excited about the holidays. She had a boyfriend this year.
Woohoo!
And she was going to have him by her side through the whole thing. And, you know, Dennis had been so concerned about her the entire time she was in the hospital. And she was so grateful that she had finally found somebody who cared for her. The minute she called to say, come over, I need you. Mm-hmm. So Thanksgiving, Dennis went to Julie's aunt and uncle's, who lived in Clayton, a very rich suburb. All of her cousins were young professionals, so Julie thought, oh, he'd fit in. Nope, he didn't. He actually was uninterested in even talking to anybody. He couldn't have cared less about anybody there. The week of Christmas, Julie was hospitalized again for depression. This time she was put into St. Luke's and prescribed lithium. Her poor body, her kidneys and liver, I tell you. She liked it there, and she admitted to the nurses at St. Luke's that she had tried to escape at St. John's. She told a nurse that depression runs in both sides of her family, and her mother had suffered from it after her dad died, and her father's mother died in a psychiatric institution. She basically complained that her life was boring. She had nothing except her sewing and her crocheting, and she had no direction in life. And she also told them that there were only four people in her life: her brother, her sister-in-law, her dog, and her boyfriend. Only people she had. And she also said that her boyfriend was very concerned about her. Mm-hmm. And told her doctor that her problems began in 1975 when both of her parents became ill. When her father died, she couldn't cope. Her mother had always protected me from everything, even while she was dying. And she basically admitted that nursing her parents became an excuse to avoid socializing and dating. Julie was doing much better at St. Luke's. The staff found Julie to have good insight and fair judgment. She even told the therapist that she is fighting for her sanity. She was trying to get out of there. And she also stated that she needed to find a new job and to get out and socialize more. That would help her. Julie wrote in her diary every day. And one day a friend of hers came to visit, and Julie said to her, if anything ever happens to me, read my diary.
Aww.
And it will tell you.
Oh.
So on Christmas Day, Julie left on a day pass, and she went and visited her brother and his wife, and then her neighbor friend Mary. No Dennis. He told her she was out skiing. But when she returned to the hospital, she told everybody that she'd been with Dennis. Dennis was actually with Nina.
Oh.
At all the big galas and parties that were happening around St. Louis that time of year and Christmas. The holiday season was Dennis's favorite. Dennis went to the VP fair with Nina. He kept dating all these old other socialites. Mm-hmm. Different parties, different socialites. So after the VP fair, it was followed by another holiday event, which Dennis went with another socialite that is unnamed. And while he was there, one of their closest friends, who the book called Really Old Name, which meant a really old family St. Louis name, was there, mm-hmm. which means old money. Then Dennis spent Christmas dinner with another socialite's family, which the really old named man was there also. When Dennis went to the Fleur-de-Lis gala with Nina right before New Year's Eve, guess who was there? Really old name was there. He was not amused that Dennis was seeing
all these
family friends. And then it was bad. That's when things started to go south for Dennis, mm-hmm. right at St. Louis. Everybody started to find out that Dennis was dating everybody. And he was like Scrooge McDuck diving into the pennies, except it was rich women. Mm-hmm. When Julie was released the last time, the one in St. Luke's, she was afraid to stay alone. She kept hearing somebody walking in the backyard. And since it was like December, they were crunching in the snow. She could hear that. And later people wondered if Dennis was gaslighting her like Anne thought he was doing. Or it was either that or it was the sedatives that Julie was on. Julie wanted to get a big dog to make her feel safe, to be with Buttons, her little Lopsa Opso. Dennis wouldn't let her. Dennis refused. Actually, she convinced Julie to give Buttons to her brother.
He did?
Dennis did. No way in hell would I give up my animals anyone.
I don't understand.
In January, Julie was tidying up her desk in the study, and she discovered Dennis's little black book. Normally, when he was at her house, he would go into that desk and make phone calls and such. Door closed, of course. She was thumbing through it and found the M's, found her name. And she's like, oh, I'm important to him. Important enough that he put me in his little back book.
No.
Then she realized next to her name was her bank numbers.
Oh, wow. That would be kind of shocking.
And then written over his ex-wife's name, her credit card account numbers. Julie didn't want to confront Dennis at all because she felt badly because she invaded Dennis's privacy. When she did mention it, it was, remember yesterday's episode when I talked about the pathetic hour-long audio tape that she sent Dennis? She didn't mention it there. But instead of being outraged and mad and yelling at him, she groveled.
Because she was blaming herself that she did,
saying, I shouldn't have snooped. Nope. I'm so sorry.
That poor girl.
And I should have told you sooner. Friends from Julie's work talked her into going to see a psychic, because that's fun, right? Later, when all this went down, the psychic, I think it was the same one Dennis would go to. Dennis liked his psychics, too. Dennis liked to know which girls he could take. So, although Julie didn't give Dennis's name, and remember that this was through the psychic's testimony after
Was it Julie, through the 1-800 called psychic?
This talk, what I'm about to say, is after Julie was dead. Julie gave the psychic a fake name and just said that he was an account executive, right? Julie asked the psychic what the cards held for her, especially considering her boyfriend. And the psychic said later, as I read them, fear came across my heart. I looked at the man in the cards and saw that he looked like the devil. I told her not to continue seeing that creep and said, if you marry him, you will be dead by May 8th.
Really?
Think? Dennis, socialite, was going down the shitter for, and about the same time, a big coinkydink, Dennis started to think, I think I'm going to marry
I think Julie's
Julie.
Looking pretty good
Julie's
now.
Looking pretty good. He told Julie she had to marry him because he thought it looked bad when he stayed over and they weren't married.
Oh, please.
And don't forget that he lived with Anne for years before they got married. And he also told Julie, the stable of strong mental health, that if she didn't marry him, he would leave her. So Valentine's Day on 1986, Julie got promoted. She got a huge salary increase. When she told Dennis, you know what he did? He proposed.
Oh, yeah, of course he did.
And she didn't answer because later she wrote, just
didn't
even though
right.
She had always dreamed of it, it just didn't feel right. I remember the first time I got engaged. Not that I've been engaged a lot, but when he proposed to me, I looked at his hair and I thought, I don't want my kids to have that hair. But I still said yes because I wanted the diamond. God, I was shallow back when I was 19.
Oh, I know, girl. Don't look at me.
I've deepened people. Deep.
I have so many comments, but I'm going to refrain. Keep them to myself.
So she started talking to a friend at work and said, you know, I just don't know what to do. I don't think he loves me. And I don't know why he's so adamant that I wear a wedding ring and he not.
Huh.
He told her he was scared that he'd get his ring caught on something at work and he'd injure his finger. He was an accountant. There's nothing.
Yeah, what's he going to sprain his finger on the calculator?
On the tin key? Yeah.
Jeez.
And she said what bothers her the most was that he wanted her to transfer all of her money into a joint account with him.
The red flags, girl. I mean,
she
seriously.
Even said, I feel like he wants to marry me for my money.
You think?
Dennis promised to put money in the joint account. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be as much as Julie's, but, you know.
Did he take out a life insurance policy on her, too?
Well, he never mentioned that he would add Julie's name to any of his stuff. On Friday, February 21st, Julie hops into her carpool, sits down and says, we're getting married tomorrow.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Everybody.
It was like,
on her, like, flies on shit. Why so fast? Dennis says it's a good idea. There's no reason to put it off.
And I gave him all my account numbers with all my money.
Where's the wedding going to be? Oh, Dennis wants a small out-of-the-way ceremony. Are we invited? No, Dennis wants it private. When asked what her gown looked like, she said, oh, I'm just wearing my old light blue suit. What about flowers? No, Dennis doesn't want to spend the money on it. Julie's brother was shocked. He said, ever since Julie was a little girl, she dreamt about the huge wedding.
Even a wedding.
White veil, white gown, flowers. She wanted the whole nine yards.
Man, girl.
On the morning of the wedding, Dennis was at the house in U City, or with Anne. They were wallpapering the house because they had put it up for sale.
Those two are still talking?
Mm-hmm. It was amicable.
Anne and Dennis?
Anne and Dennis.
The one that, didn't he say he was going to catch?
May you burn?
Yeah, yeah, that one. Oh, okay, good. Well, okay. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Anne kind of got pissed when Dennis stopped halfway through
wallpapering. Somewhere to be.
That's what he said. He's like, I've got to leave. Mm-hmm. Didn't say what. Anne wondered why he was all spruced up in his good navy blazer on a Saturday morning, reeking of brute aftershave and wearing a carnation.
When he came over to wallpaper.
No, he had changed.
Oh, okay.
After he said he had to leave. He had stopped somewhere on the way to his wedding, and he ran into an acquaintance. And they asked, you know, how you doing? All that, you know, how you do that. Well, you dodge people.
I do. I like it that
way. I like to talk to him and, you know, usually go, hey, what you been up to? All that kind of stuff. When Dennis bumped into this acquaintance, he said, you know, I've been really having a lot of trouble dating since Anna and I got a divorce.
He's on the way to his wedding? Mm-hmm. Always playing, Dennis. Always playing.
Dennis pushed the wedding. I know. Dennis pushed the wedding through, made it extremely short. Julie's brother and sister-in-law took him to lunch. And
Denny's?
I don't remember.
Probably.
Oh, I think the book said it was some kind of Creole restaurant. Oh. I don't know. By the time the meal was almost done, Dennis got up, made a phone call. When he returned, he said, we got to go. No emotion.
Big honeymoon was planned, for sure.
There was no honeymoon.
I know. I was joking.
Yeah. That was my next sentence. There's no honeymoon because Dennis didn't feel it was the right time to take off work. That night in her journal, she wrote how happy she was.
I think I made a mistake.
No. I'm so happy I finally got caught up with the rest of the world.
Oh, Lord. Julie.
And I'm pleased that I found a man that is so traveled and worldly.
Oh, he's traveled and worldly, all right, Julie.
Dennis didn't have anything in his journal, but his calendar for February 21st was party at the tennis club from 6:30 to 10.
Was that his reception?
No, there was no reception. They got married.
Oh, well, he had another event to attend.
He had an engagement.
Mm-hmm. Another one?
A social engagement, not a marriage engagement.
Well, it's not like that wouldn't happen. It wouldn't surprise me.
The next morning, Julie went over to her neighbors and surprised her with the news of the wedding. Mm. Mary said, oh my God, I can't wait to see the photos. When's it coming in? Dennis didn't want a photographer. Even though they got a gift certificate from her brother and sister-in-law to go get wedding photos done, Dennis didn't want photographers there.
That's because he's a vampire devil and you can't catch their image on film, and he didn't want her to know that.
Exactly. Mary was, oh, let me see your ring, expecting a nice sized diamond. But Mary described it as a very dinky, pathetic little band.
Which is fine if you love somebody.
It is.
And not love a psychopath.
But when you have today's equivalent of $100,000+ worth of fine jewelry, you might want a little thicker band. So on Monday, Dennis showed up at Julie's work. They went and they grabbed sandwiches, and then they went to Julie's bank and then the notary public and changed all her financial documents.
Oh, Julie.
To read Dennis and Julie Bullock. Dennis, of course, never added his name to anything. Didn't even give Julie a key to his house in U City because his ex-wife was too jealous. But Anne never even knew they got married. Anne didn't even know about Julie at all.
Oh, I know. I figured that much.
Even though Julie was married, she was lonely. She felt Dennis more of a roommate than an actual husband. Dennis, when he did sleep over, slept in another room.
So they didn't even stay in the same house? I mean, continually.
No. He still lived over at the U City house because he thought he needed to be there in case anybody broke in, which wasn't the case. He was dating other women. Julie would be so lonely that she'd drag her rocking chair into her walk-in closet and rock for hours cuddling her teddy bear. Isn't this heartbreaking?
Well, he saw her coming.
A mile away.
Yeah, he knew.
Dennis started charging up Julie's credit cards. He bought clothes from J. Crew, from Land's End. He bought a tux that Julie never even saw him wear because he never took her to any of the events that he needed a tux for.
Because he was with socialites, and I think that would be hard to explain how your wife is accompanying you on your date.
Mm-hmm. Julie would complain to her friends that she always seemed to have her wallet open. So at Price Waterhouse, there's a saying, somebody said, that before you tell your mother you get married, you tell the HR. Dennis, nope, never did, never told him. Nobody at work even knew Julie existed. In March, Julie gave Nina a ring. Bring, 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 bring. Hello, Nina. You remember the rich mm-hmm. social life? The one he hadn't seen for a while?
Because that darn marriage got in the way of it.
Well, he did send her a card for Valentine's Day.
Julie or Nina?
Nina.
Okay. Can't keep them straight.
I know. He claimed that, sorry, I haven't seen you. I've just been so busy. Of course, he was getting married and scamming. Nina invited her to dinner with her old friends at the club for Saturday night. And Dennis, of course, was excited to go. And there, everybody was planning a skiing trip, Dennis included. It was in Jackson Hole. During the trip, instead of rooming with Nina, Dennis roomed with a male friend that the book called Luke. When Luke asked him what his intentions were with Nina, he just said, you know what? I just got a divorce. I just want to play the field. Yeah, with my wife's money. And, you know, when the group went off to swim or use the sauna or any kind of naked activity or that might get naked.
Clad in
right.
activity.
Dennis never went with him. He either went skiing by himself or he went shopping. Actually, he bought a second set of skis for him while he was in.
There's some secrets he's got somewhere in there.
The second set of skis that he bought for himself, mm-hmm. $2,500.
You know what money. I say? You know what I say? Hmm? You never have too many pairs of skis.
Mm-hmm. He also bought a gift for Jody. He also called Jody. But he never called Julie once, nor did he buy her anything.
So he really did. This was all just about her money. See, I was mm-hmm. thinking that maybe he liked her a little bit.
When they came back from the ski trip, Dennis stayed at his place in U City and because he was going to take Nina to a young Republican's party. Mm. Well, Dennis should have spent a little bit more time socializing with people on Thanksgiving. Because, you know, as the saying goes, everyone here in St. Louis knows everyone.
That's true. That is true.
It's a small, big town. Julie had a cousin that knew Nina's aunt and uncle. Hmm. And they would frequently get together for dinners. Well, on this particular
night This would be really hard
at
to
dinner,
hear, let me tell you.
Julie's cousin mentioned Julie and how wonderful it was that she had recently became married. Well, Nina's aunt said, oh my gosh, Nina has a new boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Compared notes, same guy. So the day of the young Republicans party, Nina got a call from her aunt who had told her that Dennis was married. When Dennis came to pick her up, Nina confronted him. Are you married? And she later said that he briefly shook his head no and didn't discuss it at all. Just like he didn't want to discuss it. But after the party,
so
on the
way
home.
So she went to the party with him still?
Well, he told her no. briefly.
No.
After the party, Dennis said, I gotta tell you something. Look, I really am married, but I had to marry Julie because she threatened to kill herself if I didn't. I don't love her, and she's not even attractive.
And they'd been married, what, 2 months at this time, give or take?
Something like that.
He's such a sweetheart.
Mm-hmm. Dennis told Nina that he couldn't bear to see another human suffer because, you know, he had a sister that died. Did he ever tell you that?
Not to mention, so...
And he, his wife left him.
Take her money and I'm going to buy me some skis and some more skis and trips for me and my other girlfriend and my other girlfriend and my other girlfriend.
Mm-hmm. Nina said that Dennis looked so wounded, she felt sorry for him.
Dennis, Nina, come on.
Dennis also said that he was terrified that his job would discover his marriage before he could have it annulled. And the stress was just driving him to go seek therapy. But actually, he had quit seeing a therapist months ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Nina said, why didn't you think about this, you know, before you did it? And he goes, oh, you know, I just make decisions without a lot of thought. But by then, everybody knew that Dennis had committed the worst kind of social felony.
Taboo. What'd he do?
Well, he had...
He got married.
He was married and he was dating other social lives. And actually, when Becky, the one that I suspect...
Becky with the good hair.
Becky with the bank bond. The one that I think is a Bush family member.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis was dating her too. When she found out that Dennis was married, she felt awful and she had no idea. And then when she told a friend, the friend replied that maybe the wife isn't always the last to know. 2 weeks prior to the trip and him coming clean that he was married, well, coming clean, you know what I mean? That he was married to Julie. Dennis had Julie sign papers.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Which turned out to be power of attorney.
Oh.
Dennis had control over everything.
Oh, man.
When he took Julie, he just said that he had just recently had the papers drawn up. And she wanted to say something while she was at the lawyer's, but she was too embarrassed and she didn't want to embarrass Dennis. But she went ahead and signed it anyway.
Oh, my.
No.
Oh, my gosh. That's it.
No.
Wow.
But in reality, Julie had already seen that same envelope in Dennis's car before they...
He had lied saying he had just had them drawn up.
He had lied and said it had just had the papers drawn up, but Julie had seen the envelopes with the paper in them when they had went to go get their marriage license.
Oh, so he... Wow, that conniving...
This was
little...
in April. And they got married in February. So Easter comes. Jody flies in to see Dennis.
And she's, Jody got a surprise for you.
And Jody stays with him at the U City house.
Of course she does.
While Julie's all by herself.
Where's Anne?
I think Anne had her own place.
Okay.
So normally when they had sex, just light bondage, right? Hands, feet, tied, bed, whatever. Easy. This time, Dennis wanted to hog tie Jody. She didn't want to, but she agreed, finally. Then he tried to blindfold her, and she's like, nope, not going to do it. Dennis got angry. He flew out of the room in a rage, and then sulked in another room and wouldn't come out for the rest of the night.
Oh, poor Dennis.
Mm-hmm. The next day was Easter. Dennis brought Jody to his parents' house, and he said, I'm going to marry this woman in August, Mom.
Wait a minute. Did his parents not know that he'd marry Julie?
I think they had met Julie once.
Okay, so they did not. They had no idea he...
No. When Jody left, Dennis cried and was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was an idiot. I shouldn't have acted like that. Please don't leave me. I can't bear to lose you. On April 2nd, Julie confided to a friend, I can tell Dennis's mother likes me, but I have a lot of questions in my mind. My husband tells me to be at certain places at certain times or else. He doesn't like regular sex, and I don't like what he likes. And he's trying to get me to put everything I own in his name.
Girl, tick, 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 timer's ticking.
Mm. After 7 weeks of marriage, Julie gets into the carpool, and they notice that she had that really thick foundation all over her face.
Aww.
She was trying to conceal what they thought to be 4 or 5 cigarette burns on her face. and her hair looked as though hunks had been yanked out. Julie also stated to a neighbor that she thought she'd made a mistake when she married Dennis, stating that he was always gone and he never told her where he was going to be or give her a number where he could be reached. Julie thought that if Dennis could just get another job, everything will be okay. Just getting married will be okay. If Dennis just changes jobs, it'd be okay.
Julie.
But her neighbor thought that, you know, since Julie had made this decision right after she got out of the psychiatric unit, she probably made the decision while she was on these drugs. Because sometimes she seemed so doped up, they wondered how she could function. The house in New City sold. Dennis mentioned to his friend that he met a woman in West County and he was thinking about moving in with her, but didn't give a name, didn't give anything. He told Anne that
this wasn't Julie, though, right?
Yeah, it was Julie.
Oh, okay.
But he didn't
Can't keep him straight. Okay.
He told Anne that he was going to be moving in with his grandmother. By the end of April, Julie was out of the depression and she was very happy. She went to lunch with one of her friends and she said that she was thinking about divorcing Dennis. She said all he wanted was her money. And Dennis needed to stop spending her money and start spending his own. And he wasn't living up to the agreement that he had made before they were married.
He wasn't living up to his potential with her.
Mm-hmm. Dennis moved in with Julie on their second anniversary, April 22nd, 1986. Julie was thrilled. And
second anniversary?
Second month anniversary.
Okay.
Their 2 month anniversary. And more good news. Dennis had another job offer with very minimal travel. Yay, Julie was so happy. There was only going to be one more business trip for Dennis.
Uh-huh.
And that was Friday, May 2nd.
Loose ends.
And he was leaving Monday morning, May 5th, a week-long trip to St. Paul. Sometime around the weekend of April 25th, 27th, Dennis wanted to do something in bed. She had confided to a friend of hers about this. It's unsure what it was, but whatever it was something that hurt Julie as she laid face down.
Okay.
She told him to stop, but he refused. She cried in pain.
So he raped her.
But Dennis continued. He enjoyed it. She grabbed her robe and left and sat in the kitchen, cried, and smoked. She was a smoker. And just waited because Dennis was going to come in and apologize. She just knew it. And all of a sudden, she looked up, and there he was in the doorway. And he tells her, you're just going to learn how to like that. You better get used to it. And as he walked away, he turned and yelled at her for smoking. And Julie just was devastated.
What's he afraid that she's going to die from smoking?
She did. On May 3rd, the last Saturday Julie was alive, Julie wrote in her diary, she had been married to Dennis now for 10 weeks, and this is all paraphrased. Although he says he loves me, doesn't feel right. Most of the time, sex with Dennis is not the mystical union I dreamed of, but some hormonal act. So impersonal. Is it him, or is it my lack of femininity? Does he love me, or am I just a warm body laying there in the dark? But then sometimes we fall asleep all curled up together like puppies in a basket, and he's so gentle. Or is that to compensate for when he's rough and makes me cry? I feel the child inside me is sobbing now. Someone, mommy, daddy, please save me. I wish I could save myself, but how?
Julie.
They spent Sunday night together. That was May 4th. Dennis watched the first part of a movie about Ted Bundy. And Julie puttered around the house because she doesn't like the violence of that movie. And she called a friend in Florida and said, I'm afraid of my husband. I'd like to throw him out, but if I push for a divorce, he could have me institutionalized. He has power of attorney, and I can't bear that. On Monday, May 5th, Julie had lunch with a friend and told her about the thing, the sex part, and she assumed that it was anal sex. A friend was named Terry. Julie also told Terry how she hated to be home alone, so she asked Terry to come over and have pizza so they can talk because they hadn't done that very much. Terry said, well, you know what? I've got to catch an early flight to Dallas in the morning and my clothes aren't ready. Why don't you come over to my house? And then Terry says, hey, I'm watching a movie and the second part is going to be on tonight, the Ted Bundy movie. And Julie's like, ugh. It's like, no, I can't come over because I can't watch that kind of stuff. But, and then she also went on to say that Dennis had promised her that he was going to deposit a check into their bank account. And she was anxious about it. And she, and this was the last chance. If he didn't come through with this, that was it. Because she was the only one putting money into the account. And he promised her he would put, he would deposit his paycheck. Julie called the bank from her office. No deposit. Julie called Terry and told her, and then said that she was going to tell Dennis that night when he called from St. Paul. Terry thought, wow, Julie's back to her old self, angry and ready to fight. And indeed, fed up with Dennis, Julie dumped some of his clothes and sweaters into a black garbage bag that evening. And then the next thing we know is Julie's dead. That was the night before she was found. That was, no, he had left that day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that is enough for this. There's more to the story.
Oh, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
He's a piece of work.
Yeah. All right.
You're going to bring us another episode tomorrow? Can't wait.
I hope it's the last one. I'm tired.
So do I. And indeed, remember, lock your doors.
And keep passing by those open windows.
Bye-bye.
Love ya. Reggie, what are you doing?
Shopping.
I can hear you gulp.
Gulp. Because I gulp. Only got one gulp. One straw, and I gave it to my best friend. So she
I had
have
straws.
Straw. Well, I was trying to be nice. Sorry.
It's okay.
I'm thirsty.
So am I. I haven't had anything to drink today. And I haven't slept today. And I haven't eaten. I'm going to die.
I think you're going to make it. Let's get through these 75
so
pages.
I can go
Let's
to bed.
Go.
Okay. And Wendy has stormy eyes that light with the sound of Wendy lies. Meadows. Wendy Meadows. Wendy.
I guess, did yeah. you research and figure out what her real name was?
I couldn't okay. find anything.
Okay.
Dennis also admitted to his Dinah. Dinah, okay. Is there anyone finer
just
in the state of
Dinah
Carolina?
Short.
Yeah. She provided the quality.
Judy or Jody?
Jody.
You said Judy. You said Judy in the first episode, too.
Did I?
Yeah. I mean, and I made fun of you, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I've got my mom on my mind. And my mind on my mom. She turned to his new girlfriend.
She turned? Because if Anne turned to Dennis's new girlfriend, now that would be something.
Hey, it happened before.
I know, it's happened. I'm
Wouldn't
just
be
saying.
The first time. My tablet came in. This just couldn't be fixed. Because I can't say irreconcilable. Nope. Irreconcilable.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah.
Thicker is always better.
Sometimes.
Size matters.
Yeah. Who wants a dinghy pulling up into their harbor, right? Yes.
Sorry.
Dennis,
sorry.
Jesus
I'm
Christ.
I'm going to have to go pee in a minute.
Good luck. That bathroom's disgusting.
I don't care.
I
got to pee. Oh, I'll be right back.